Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Craig, it is 9 o'clock, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. And today I'm going to be talking to somebody who has become basically the gimmick king in the UK. Somebody who has shot to prominence with Ace Magic Studio and Alakazam. Somebody who I have met, and he is genuinely one of the nicest people in magic. And so many people on Magic TV and have asked me to interview him. Well, it's here. It's happening right now. He is a bit of a legend. It is the one and only Steve-O Watson. How are you doing, Steve-O? You all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks, Craig. That's a wonderful introduction. Thank you very much. Absolutely flattered. Really flattered. Thank you.
Well, you know what? I'm really excited to do this because obviously you came on my radar when I started checking out Ace's stuff, and I did an interview with Gary Sumter, obviously. And off the back of that, I was checking out all your products. And then since you've been working more closely with Alakazam, obviously I work quite closely with them as well. So our paths have crossed. And then at Blackpool, you basically babysitted Ryland for the you guys at Alakazam, basically.
My pleasure. To be honest, he probably babysat me, if I'm honest with you. He's great.
He had
me right.
I asked him, what was the highlight of the convention? And bearing in mind, he appeared on the gala show. He was hanging out with a whole bunch of legends. And he said, Deming on the Alakazam stand with Steve-O. He actually said Steve-O. So sorry, Gary. Sorry, Wayne.
Oh, bless him.
Hanging out on the Alakazam stand with Steve-O. So there you go.
That's great. That's made my day. That's fantastic. Thank you, Ryland. Honestly, the feelings are 100% mutual as well. Absolute legend. I look up to him, even though he's shorter than me.
Not the most, to be honest. But I want to find out all about you, because obviously, you've come really into prominence recently, and I know you've been in magic for a very long time as well. So I guess in this interview, I want to find out where you came from, how you got into magic, how your association with Ace started, how you ended up with Alakazam, and we'll fill in the whole thing, and we'll hopefully get some advice off you along the way, if that sounds good.
That'd be great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Let's start at the very beginning. The origin story.
Okay.
Steve-O, you're obviously from Darlington up north.
Yeah.
So when did you get into magic? When did that all happen? Because you're obviously Darlington, your nearest magic shop up there would be Magic Box, I guess. Right?
It is now, yes, it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's my origin story sort of stems back to I'll be the cliche sort of toddler with the Paul Daniels magic sets. That was the era that I was from. But it wasn't something that I looked at as in like magic. This is magic and I want to perform it. I want to learn it. It was just another sort of game set, toy set that did different things. The little, the plastic puzzles that you'd get and the little sponge cups and balls. And I don't think I actually learned the routines properly. I just had them and fiddled with the gimmicky things. But it's 2003 was the big sort of the big crossover point, because although I'd been into magic, just as a bit of a hobby, and I played a lot of card games, but I was actually at college and I'd been there for 3 years and I was doing media, performing arts, IT, that sort of thing. And I was actually sort of halfway through my exams, everything that I'd sort of, worked 3 years for. And my dad called me and he said, me and your mum and your sister are going to Florida, booking to go for a couple of weeks. We just wanted to see, we know that you're 18 now. Do you want to come? It's up to you. And I was like, oh man, when is it? When are you booking? I'd love to go to America. And my dad gave me the date and I said, okay. So that's that's exactly when I've got my exams for the courses that have been taken. So I had a big decision to make. So I didn't know it, but that was the crossroad in my life. And that's when I finally decided to just leave the exams and go off to America and enjoy a bit of a holiday. That's where it all started, because I believe it's not there anymore, but there was a place called the McCardorf International Drive in Florida. Mm. And they had a magic shop there called Magic Max's Magic Shop. And I remember just walking around, my parents were sat down, my sister having a milkshake. I said, I'm just going to go have a walk around, see what I can spend my, you know, holiday money and stuff on. And I walked around, I walked into this shop, and I didn't know what to expect. Like I said, I'd never really been into a magic shop or anything, but I walked in and they had, like, you know, the fancy dress things and the glass cabinet with bits in. And I sort of, I was just a bit like, you know, and I was looking around and I just heard this voice. So I said, hey, buddy, I won't do the accent, but he's like, hey, buddy, do you want to see some magic? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'd love to. So I walked over and he proceeded to show me, you know, the vanishing deck in the black box. And for me, that was the first time I'd seen, like, magic in real life. I mean, up until probably about 2 years prior to that, I'd watched David Blaine on the specials. For me, he was a massive inspiration. And it was around that time when he came on the scene. And I just thought it was amazing. And even though I knew, you know, you say magic isn't real in that respect, but he made me think, well, it's sort of, it has to be, because there's no other way. And I had that huge sort of thing that was sitting in the back of my mind. So go back, I'm in America, and the guy who was working behind the counter was called Josh, and he shows me this vanishing deck trick. And you know when, this is how I describe it, you know when you were a kid and you used to get the little 9-volt batteries and you'd lick them to see if they were still working and your tongue would go dzz. Yeah, when he turned that box over and the cards weren't there, that's exactly what I felt like. And I was just, I said, I need to be able to do that sort of thing. How do I learn that? And obviously he told me what it was and what I needed to purchase, etc. And I was like, yeah, brilliant. So I bought that. I bought a couple of books, and my parents were sat having a milkshake with my sister, and I thought, right, I'm gonna go around and show them this trick. So I looked in the bag to see what it was, what I had to do. And I thought, oh, he's forgot to put my cards in there. But obviously, you guys know what that effect is, you know. So I had to go back in the show and say, oh, right, okay. So he showed me exactly. He said, right, you want to do it? You want to perform it like this? I said, okay, so I'm going to need to buy a packet of playing cards as well. So I got myself a packet of bicycles and I went round and I just sat at the table. Did you get anything, son? I was like, yeah, got a pack of cards, just sat playing with them. And then I said, actually, I got a case with them as well. I'll try. And I just sat and, you know, I shouldn't have gone straight into just performing, but I just thought, you know, why not give it a go? And I remember to the point, up until just before I turned the box over, you know, my dad and that was sat, they were just like, yeah, okay, right, go on. And then when I turned it over, it was that same thing of like, you know, the battery licking through the moment. But for me, it was maybe even stronger, that feeling of excitement and love for getting that reaction, than it was to be that person having that reaction. So I thought, I need to do this. So whenever we were at the Mikado, he said this was back in 2003, but anywhere we went and we were on the International Drive, he said, right, I'm just going to go off to the magic shop and buy a few bits. And I've still actually got the cards. They were the Royal Magic set of, you know, the stripper deck, the brainwave deck, etc. And yeah, I got those and started to learn a few moves. And it went from there. I was just obsessed with it, absolutely obsessed.
That's great. So then you came back from America, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and I didn't have no exam results, so I needed to get a job. So I just had a look what was around, and there was a job as a hospital porter going. And my dad actually used to do that when he was probably about around the same age I was when I applied. And I didn't know it at the time, but it went hand in hand with the magic, because it started off where I would just take, I'd just have a packet of cards in my pocket, and at the right time, I would do a couple of tricks, a couple of effects, and show, you know, people that maybe were waiting for a taxi, or, you know, some guy's broke his leg playing football and he's waiting to get a cast on. And I realized that at the right moment, it could take people from whatever situation they were in, whether, you know, they were sat there with a broken leg, or, you know, whether they'd just been to visit someone maybe that was ill, they're waiting for a taxi. It didn't matter what situation they were in, they would, it would just take them away from it for a few moments even. And I love that it did that. So obviously I utilized that at the right time, and I didn't do it when, you know, the time wasn't right. Oh, you know, see some magic, this will cheer you up. But yeah, for me, that really sort of, it got me wanting to perform more, because it was just, like you say, a hobby at the time, what I'd learned, and I wanted to show people things. But the word got around, and I would go to the wards, and I would be taking patients back to the wards, and the doctors or the nurses would be saying, oh, have you got your cards with you? And yeah, I just enjoyed it. And I loved the fact that people wanted to see it. And I thought, yeah, this is great. And I love doing it. I love the reactions that you get. And I love the way that, because there's a lot of things that I don't tend to look into to research in magic. So I still get sort of amazed by it, like a lot of stage magic, because I don't do stage. I tend not to sort of research too much, so I can still be like, what, you know, and try and work it out, sort of thing. So I've still got the passion that way as well.
That's amazing. So obviously when you came back, you were really, were you buying magic from various different places? Like, so when you came back from America and you're a hospital porter, obviously mm-hmm. you were performing, but were you also like learning new magic? Because because we know you now as somebody who makes some incredible gimmicks, and
Thank you. You
seem to have this ability to just like create mad stuff, and we'll get to that later on.
Yeah.
Did that start off back then? Did you gravitate towards that sort of magic, or?
No, it was the inspiration when I started to create, which I say we will get into, that was my inspiration came from the initial, with that vanishing deck trick. It's a visual thing. It's something that's, it goes from that moment of nothing. And then as soon as you see it, it's like a sort of an instant hit. And that for me was probably the inspiration that I had when I started to create, wanted a lot of things to be that moment, that quick sort of, did I just see that, like a camera trick, but up close. And that was just, yeah, that was just something that, to be honest, it went a bit crazy. And I had, I've got a drawer, and it was anything to do with sweets, candy, chocolate, anything. I just, you know, I tried all sorts of different things. And I've got to give a shout out here as well to Jason Orpen, because it was about 3 years ago now when I only started really crafting sort of my own gimmicks. And I didn't really, I had the standard things, like standard tools, and I sort of knew a bit what to do. But Jason gave me some great tips, even little things like, oh, use a metal ruler. And at the time I was like, oh, yeah, great, thank you. And he gave me little tips and sort of sent me on my way to doing, you know, the crazy things that I sort of work on now. So yeah, it was, I've got to say thank you to him, because that was when the passion for crafting started.
Wow, okay. So did you have any intention back in the, because obviously you make your living from magic now, you perform and you create and so on and so forth. Was that a goal back then? Were you kind of looking at it and going, well, you know what? I can make a living from this. I can make a living from magic. Or was it just a hobby that you enjoyed showing to people?
I'd always liked performing. So it was something that I did, like say, I did like doing the gigs and getting a bit of extra cash, that sort of thing. But it was, we'll go to sort of, it gets to 2011, the end of 2011. And I lost my dad to suicide. And for me, that sort of, it changed everything. I wasn't the same person anymore for about 7, maybe 8 years. I was very sort of reclused and suffer now, but I suffered a lot then with depression and anxiety. And I sort of channeled those things into the magic, where so with sort of the OCD, that sort of thing. That's great when it comes to making a flap card, because you know you can get the perfect flap card. There's going to be no just stick that on there. So it's my OCD sort of keeps that right. But at the end of 2011, it just all changed, and I didn't. I sort of watched magic. I watched, you know, Penn and Teller, Foolers, that sort of thing on the TV. But I didn't perform anywhere. I would, you know, read my magic books, or I'd sit and practice a little bit. But it just, I couldn't socialize with people. I couldn't make eye contact with people. The last thing I could do was perform magic. But then it came to, I'll probably say, yeah, maybe it's 2017, 2018, round about that time. I'd been dragged out to just a bit of a house party. And while I was there, they said, "Oh, Steve, I used to do a bit of magic, didn't you? Show us a trick." And I hate the fact that I said this now, but looking back, I actually said, "Oh, I don't have anything on me. I don't have anything on me." So I think that was more of an excuse for me just to get out of, like, "Oh, I haven't showed anyone any magic for a long time." And I was really nervous. But then obviously after a couple of beers, I thought, well, I really want to do something now. I've got a bit of Dutch courage. So I thought, what can I do? And genuinely, there was no cards in the house, anything that I'd sort of practiced with. I thought, I know, I'll do Healed and Sealed. So I just took a can of Foster's out the fridge and I went upstairs, snuck out the way and set up, did what I had to do. And then I just waited until they said, "Oh, come on, Steve, you must be able to do something." I thought, brilliant. And I was like, I'll try this. I haven't done it for a long time. And obviously went over, grabbed the can and did Healed and Sealed. And it's just going to sound like really cheesy, really sort of, you know, American, I would say. But it's like when that can started to restore and it started to sort of reform back into its shape, that was me at that moment. It really was. It was because I'd not done it for so long and I felt crushed. It wasn't something I was looking at doing in the future. But then when it got to that point and that can restored and I pulled the ring pull and it was like the reaction came out of the can. And I remember all the guys stood and just sort of, you know, whoa, that proper, you know, David Blaine, American special sort of really like running around the kitchen. And I got that feeling back, that first time that I'd performed, that I showed my dad that trick, and the first time that I'd seen magic when Josh showed me that trick, I got that feeling then, and I'd only ever had that maybe a couple of times before, and I thought, yeah, I need to do something with this, and I'd not felt that happiness of that sort of, that sort of goose pimples flown through me for a long time. I thought, I need to pick this back up. It's obviously... And I started to think a lot more about, well, you know, I used to do this when I worked at the hospital, and I, you know, used to sort of use it as like a healing sort of thing. I need to do that for myself. And it just went from there. And I started practicing again properly. And I went back to the magic circle, my local magic circle, Darlington. I joined Darlington Magic Circle sort of... getting back from America as well. And there's some great people there that have mentored me and helped me over the years. And I've sort of been an on-off member where, you know, when I was going through my sort of bad times, I'd have, you know, maybe a year, 2 years where I hadn't been to any meetings, but then I'd get sort of that thing, I'll go back, I'll see the guys and that sort of thing. But yeah, I got back into going to the meetings and I got practicing. And that's where I met Jason Orpen, who he sort of said, "Oh, I live close to you, you have to come over and we'll have a jam." And he showed us some great little things. And like say, he was good at crafting as well. So he showed us a few things that he'd done and a few ideas. And I was sort of in awe and I was like, wow, this is great. I'd love to be able to do that. And it was then that he had a product that he sold to Ace Magic Studio, which is actually due to come out very, very soon. And honestly, Craig, you're going to love it. It is sensational. Really? Yeah, it really is. But yeah, so back then it was sort of, I looked up to him and I thought, brilliant, like, this is great. Like, you really, like, sort of show me, you know, the crafting side of things. And just that, yeah, he was sort of the same age and that same sort of style. And yeah, I'd become good friends with him. And I made a video of, you know, the Matrix, the moving holes on the playing card. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to him and I said, what do you reckon, bud? And he said, you should post that. And I said, I've never posted anything like magic online or anything like that. He said, no, you should. You should, man. It's good. So I did. So I posted it on. And then, like, I think, you know, without being, so I don't mean it to sound big headed, but the comments, the nice comments and like, oh, this, that, and the other, it was nice. It was that sort of to get that feeling again of, oh, yeah, well, thank you, you know. So, yeah, so I started to do a few more videos and started to craft a little bit more and come up with a few just little things that were different. I didn't want to be posting what everybody else was posting at the same time. So, like, when a new visual effect comes out, usually if you go on to TikTok or something, you see, you know, a lot of the magicians doing the same thing. So I tried to just come up with sort of little changes or something that was sort of unique to me. And yeah, where was that? So yeah, that was the inspiration for how I started, like, with that type of magic. What was the question again, Craig? I've just spoken for about 15 minutes.
I'm finding this absolutely fascinating. I really am. No, you were saying that you started practicing again and you started getting kind of back into it, and that's when you met Jason, and that's when he was teaching you that side of things, which is,
yeah, so fantastic. And at the Darlington Magic Circle, we had a meeting one night, and we had the lecture by Ace Magic Studio, and it was Martin Pierce, who we all know and absolutely love. I think he's fantastic. And we watched the lecture. It was like a deal of dem lecture. Martin was great. And at the end, he said, if anybody has any magic ideas, that sort of thing, send them over to Gary and give us the information and stuff. And, you know, he's looking for people to work with and to produce effects. And sort of, oh, that's great. That's nice to know. You know, it's quite hard to sort of get an effect to a producer and, you know, have it sort of looked at quite soon, which okay, a few weeks later, a couple of months later, Jason, I call him Jay. So we came into the circle and he said, oh, I've got a trick coming out with Ace Magic Studio. I've sold an effect, and he showed us what it was, and it was just need one, absolutely need one. And that really sort of inspired me to sort of think, like, yeah, like, create, is it good, like, to create something new and to have that, and like, I'd love to be able to do that. So yeah, it sort of started from then, and I just it kicked the ball rolling, really. And the last thing I will say, that effect, we had issues with production and everything with the effect, what it is, and we're waiting to actually get it very soon, the product, and we just can't wait, honestly. Gary will tell you the same. We cannot wait. It's brilliant, and it's hopefully one of the first of many for Jay. Because he does a few of the bits himself, absolutely fantastic. But yeah, this the first product that he'll have sort of on the market, mm-hmm. And yeah, it's going to be a good one. So yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to mention Jay because yeah, he was a big sort of help, a big inspiration, and building my confidence up stuff when I got back into the magic. And it was through Jay that when, you know, he contacted Gary. So when I was around Jay's, we started chatting with each other, and we started became friends, all three of us. And yeah, that was when, that's what led into then meeting Gary. So I'll pause there in case.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously I want to talk about how you met Gary. I mean, I want to ask you one question. When you got back into magic after all those years off, did you go back into gigging again? I know you gig now, but I mean, or was it just a hobby and you were just wanting to get back into?
I didn't advertise.
Fun with it.
Yeah, I didn't advertise gigs, but I always put it out there that I like to do magic when the time was right. So it would be situational effects. Situational? Could that be a word? Have I made that one up?
Go with that. That might not be a good word. Let's do it.
But yeah, it was so what the environment that I was in, I would try and do it so it fit into that environment. So it didn't seem like, oh, I've just got this random prop or random object. Watch this. So maybe if I was, you know, at work, maybe building something using screws, nuts, bolts, that sort of thing, I would get the PK bolt, pop that in, and then and at the right time, I would do that then. So it wasn't something that I would, sort of advertise to go and do. It was just, I just enjoyed doing it at the right time. But if people said, oh, will you, I'm having a christening or I'm having a wedding, if you come, will you bring your cards and stuff? I would say, yeah, I'll come and I'll do some magic. And it was just sort of as and when I wanted to, not like, right, it's this time till this time. But then, yeah. It sprouted into wanting to do it a lot more.
and tell me the story about how you met Gary, because obviously you said that you kind of got your spark. You like the idea of creating magic.
Mm-hmm.
How did that kind of, was that the catalyst to joining Ace Magic Studio or?
So, yeah. So what happened was just stemming from Jay, I started to like just try and create ideas and come up with different things, and I came up with an effect which had a name for it, and the premise of the effect was a date prediction, but it was using a method that, unbeknownst to me at the time, it wasn't the same method as such, but it used a similar premise to one of Richard Sanders' effects.
Okay.
So I contacted Richard and said, look, I've come up with this effect. I've later come to learn that it's similar in a couple of ways with this. And he was great. He responded back and he said, I'm working on another one similar to this. These are the banks of cards, numbers that I'm using, etc. And I shared with him mine. And he said he couldn't work with me or anything like that on it, because obviously he had something already in the pipeline with on that scale. So I sent it over to Gary and thought, well, why not send it to Gary and see what he thinks? And he replied straight away. He responded, he said, yeah, I really like the effect. It's great. But the issue that I may have is, have you seen the Richard Sanders effect? And I said, okay, yeah, I totally agree and I totally understand. But he said, I really like the style of thinking, and it'd be great to work with you on something in the future.
Wow.
Okay. So, and I said, oh, yeah, that'd be brilliant. Thank you. Obviously, I was blown away. And just to say that effect, that was, I created that maybe 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I've actually sent the prototype over to, Mr. Jamie Dawes, who's having a little play. So it's around that neck of the woods. So although I do like the visual and the gimmicks and that side of thing, I've sort of tried to expand out into mentalism and sort of cover a lot more rather than just being a one trick pony.
Yeah.
So then it was from then that Gary started seeing the videos that I was posting online. And apparently, I didn't know this at the time, obviously, but he said to his wife, he said, this guy, he said, got a really infectious smile. I'd love to get him doing some videos for Ace. So he messaged me and said, are you free to jump on a call, like a Zoom call? Actually, it was Skype at the time. And I said, yeah, of course. So we jumped on, which was meant to be like, a 10, 20 minute call. And we end up just really bonding. We were on for about 4 hours. I think Gary did mention this in his interview with you as well.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
When we were on for about 4 hours and we really connected with like sort of our past and our background and our family and everything. And it was strange to sort of have that connection just like that. And in that call, Gary said, well, look, I'm actually due to do Blackpool in February 2020, Yeah, because it was the end of 2019 when I was chatting with him, and he said, "I'm due to do Blackpool, but I'm going on my own. Would you fancy coming along and doing some demoing and that sort of thing?" And honestly, for me, that was like, you know, it felt like I had a coat hanger in my mouth. I was just like, "Oh, like brilliant! Thank you so much!" And I was just blown away. And so I mentioned it to Jay, and I said, "Jay, Gary's asked, and he said he wants a hand doing a bit of demoing and stuff at Blackpool. You know what? Give him an extra pair of hands." So we mentioned it, and we got in touch with Gary, and Gary was like, "Well, you know," he was blown away that like a couple of lads just wanted to just to help him. He was sort of a bit, why? And I just, you know, we wanted to just prove to him that there was no ulterior motive. We got the passion for magic and really just wanted to go there and help out and have a great time. So we did. And it was, for me, from not gigging properly and only doing like magic as and when I chose to demon for 3 days straight and to magicians as well. Now, it's almost like, you know, when you tell a joke to somebody and you start telling the joke and they go, "Oh," and you go, "Have you heard it?" And they go, "No, just tell the joke, tell it." And you think they've heard the punchline. And you tell it and they go, "Yeah, I have heard that one." For me, that's what it's like doing magic to magicians. Even if you think they've never seen this, I've created this, this is something completely new. You get halfway through and I think they might know what to expect. But
exactly.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. So it was for me, I had that sort of mindset. But you know, it was the most enjoyable 3 days performing magic that I'd had. It was fantastic. And when Blackpool ended and we were to go our separate ways, Gary was to go back down to Essex and I was going back up north. I was just like, I'm not upset, but I got a bit emotional. I was just like, you know, this has changed my life. Like, it's really given me like something to focus on and something like a goal to have, because the jobs that I'd had, I actually left the hospital porter job after about 3 years, and I went into working with fiberglass. I worked in a flagpole factory, and then I was in dispatch, and then I went into account management, and then I went again into another fiberglass factory that was a little bit closer. So I'd done that sort of factory lifestyle, but when I worked at Blackpool just for those few days, I just wanted to do that. It felt right. It wasn't like a job. It wasn't, you know, hard work or anything. So when we came back from Blackpool, I think it was probably the following week, I just got on with Gary on the morning and I stayed on all day on Skype. And then I said, I'd do that again. And it was for about a year. I pretty much worked with Gary just for my enjoyment, because I really enjoyed doing it. Lockdown had started, if you remember when we come back from Blackpool 2020, everything started then. So, and I was really sort of worried that my mental health would take a decline, being, you know, that you have been so reclused again and having, you know, lockdown. And it kept me busy just working with Gary. I say working with him, just jamming with him, really, just coming up with ideas, just playing about. Gary was doing what he had to do to run Ace, and I was just doing what I can or what I could to help him. And yeah, we came up with a few things, and I said, you know, I've got into crafting a bit more, and if I can help out anywhere with any effects, I'd like to craft some. And I came up with an effect, like a flap card called F-bomb, just like a little visual effect. And I started making those, and it gave me something to focus on. And that's when I started playing with like a few of the card effects and the chocolate bar effect and stuff like that. And it came to what we're on now. So it will have been a year later. So it came to Christmas 2020. And basically, Gary offered me directorship and obviously a percentage of the business. He said, you know, you've worked your ass off for the joy of doing it for the last year. You know, you've showed that you're committed, and I'd really like to show you that I'm committed to having you on board if that's what you'd like to do. And I just, I was, you know, I always said, I just wanted a job that I enjoy. I didn't like fiberglass, didn't like flagpoles. You know, put me in HMV, stacking the shelves. I like music. Just give me a job doing something that I enjoy, something that I've got an interest in. So that opportunity for me was just like, wow, you know, it blew me away. And I just grabbed it with both hands. And from then, I just haven't looked back. I've enjoyed every minute of it. And yeah, it's just getting better each week. And especially since things have progressed recently with Alakazam and everything as well, the journey is just, it's took
well, a... How did that all come about? How did that all come about? Because obviously, you still got Ace Magic as a brand. You know, it's still very much Ace Magic, but you're kind of part of the Alakazam family now, aren't you?
So how that worked, well, basically Gary's been friends. He's known Pete for a long time. He used to go to Alakazam when it was in Pete's garage back in the day. So they had that relationship like already sort of set there. But it was, we came up with a few ideas. We were doing a few videos. We were, you know, working to try and push Ace forward. And Gary had a conversation with Pete, and a few things got thrown, sort of a few ideas got thrown at the table. And the one thing that me and Gary wanted to keep hold of, we wanted Ace to still be our company. We wanted it to be, you know, we didn't sort of want it to just, what's the word I'm looking for, to sort of combine into another company and just not have its name. We still wanted it, the brand and to push our style of products, because I feel like the way that myself and Gary work now, we do have, although we are dabbling in a lot of the things, we do have sort of a way of creating a way, like Ace products can be recognised. I think if you've seen a product and you didn't know it was from Ace, you could maybe guess, oh, is this one of Ace Magic Studios' product? So, we wanted to keep that. But then with the offer that Pete made, you know, for us to sort of go into a partnership and to do what we're doing now, it was just, it was mind-blowing. For me, I'd only been part of Ace for, a year and a half, something like that, and then this was going to happen. And, yeah, and obviously Pete, Jenny, Andy, Harry, you know, everyone, they're just fantastic. And I do genuinely see them as like my family now, like, you know, my work family. But they are, you know, when you've got a job and like even at a factory, you get to know the people that you work with and you get close with them. And even over, even since the meld, it's just been great. I mean, Harry's fantastic. I have some great banter with him, and I love when we have the recording days. You know, to even record the instructor, like all this sort of thing for me, it's just so enjoyable, every step of it. There's nothing that I think, we've got to do this and then it's to that. But yeah, it's so yeah. Again, I can't remember the question, but
it's just about how you ended up working at Alakazam, and you answered it perfectly. You really did. I mean, that's really cool. That's absolutely brilliant. Before I move on, do you have any advice when it comes to creativity? Because obviously, although you are a performer, and you know, today you've just gone and performed at a wedding, although you are a performer, primarily your main focus is helping to bring new material out for Alakazam and Ace Magic Studio. And
it is now, yes.
The intricate gimmicks that are made, I'm made by you, and there's been fantastic stuff coming out.
Thank you.
Through Ace, and you're a huge part of that. So how have you got any advice on creativity
and I think
magic tricks?
I think for me it was something that you like. So for me, I like the visual aspect. I thought, right, so what if I'm going to create, what effect do I want it to have? And again, for me, it's the battery licking moment. I want people to sort of be looking and then just think, oh, you know, that sort of shock, that single moment. So that's where I started. I thought, right, what can I do that's going to be sort of that nature? So it started off with basic flap cards. I was starting, and I came up with a few different ways of using them. And You know, charge card, the battery card that's out in F1. I came up with the crafting of that and how to work them, and I thought, right, that's okay. That's these are the, you know, nice visual effects, but maybe take it a step further. So I used to take a packet of cards and just keep a card out as well and go to like B&M or Morrison's or somewhere, and I'd just measure it up against different chocolate and biscuits and different things, and just see what I could come up with using a method similar to like flap cards, but sort of trying to expand it and change it up a little bit. And then it just started spanning from there. But I think the important thing for me, I was always researching what was about. I think that's important, to research what's already out there and to make sure that you're not just, you know, you can be inspired by something, you can have a take on something and make it your own. But I think just to copy or just to have something that's maybe already out there wouldn't be the way to go. So maybe I would say something that you enjoy. Like for me, I enjoy sweets, chocolate, love Star Bars. But yeah, and I liked crafting. So I put those two things together to try and to come up with something that way. But since then, obviously Ace Magic Studio was primarily a mentalism based company. So, and I hadn't done a lot of mentalism before I met Gary, and I didn't realize how fun it could be, because I was like, you know, I like my visual magic, I like card effects, that sort of thing. But for me, when Spread came out, just doing that bit at the beginning where you think, right, just imagine where you are and what you can see. And I'd never really done anything like that before, but because I had to dem that, because that was one of the products at Blackpool, I did that for sort of a few days. And I thought, I really like that sort of the effect that that has. So I started to just buy a few different books, mentalism books, and look up a few different methods and things that were sort of like commonly used. And I know Martin's books are great for that as well. I looked at the things that I thought, wow, that's impressive, or that really got me, or something that sort of, yeah, that made me excited. And I sort of used that basis to try and come up with something that was suitable for me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
If that answers the question.
Yeah, no, it really, really does. And any advice on learning how to make gimmicks? Because obviously, you know, everybody's sitting at home and they're like, oh my God, I'd like to be able to make my own flap cards. I'd like to make my own this and make my own that. You're kind of pretty much, obviously you've had advice and you've had guidance in the past. We've spoken about that, but a lot of the stuff that you've come up with is your own idea. You've been self-taught and so on.
Yeah.
And any advice on making gimmicks?
Just for me, it's all about take your time and be as precise as you can. Don't think, oh, that'll be all right. If you ever have the thought, that'll be fine, it won't be fine, right? Just put as much sort of effort in. So if you have just a simple idea and you think, you know, I want to make this card into a Kit Kat, how am I going to do that? Just start off really basic. Don't even bother getting your tools out. Just fold the card, do what you have to, till you've got, right, okay, I think it's going to work this way. And then just sort of, I don't know, take your time, just make sure everything's precise, get a good ruler, a good metal ruler, a good blade, and yeah, just have it how you'd want to have it. So if I was to take it out and think that, you know, I'm going to be able to perform that and it's no one's going to be able to notice it, whereas if I was to take something out and think, nah, there's the elastic thread or whatever is down this side, I'm not going to be comfortable, I wouldn't then just think, right, I'll just take that out. I would sit and just play with a few ways, maybe add an extra layer, just, you know, really just experiment. Like, don't just come up with an idea and think, yeah, that's good. Once you've got that, play with it a lot and just, you know. And I know in the past, and I'm going to bring this up, Magic Club got 0%, and right, so what with that, right, there was a whole it's fine. There was a whole premise behind that. For me, wordplay. I like the wordplay, and you know, maybe that was a fault that I had. I didn't put more time in early on when I first joined with Ace and wanted to come up with some ideas. Maybe I didn't. I came up with that effect and thought, right, great. And I didn't
The reason we weren't too keen on it, from memory, I think, was because there wasn't much discussion about how to get into it.
Yeah.
Kind of like, okay, this is the thing, this is what it does. But from a performing point of view, it's kind of like, well, okay, but how do I do that? How do I get it from my pocket? I'm going to walk over to a table or go up to my friends in a group. How do I go from having it set up in my pocket to getting it and managing the angles and that sort of stuff? Because that was the main problem with it.
For me, that actually, it made me think a lot about that. And I was a little bit kicked in the gut at the time, but not in a bad way, not in a bad way. It sort of, it made me think, and it made me, and I realized that because I was new to the magic industry in the way of running it as a business, there should have been a lot more footage, a lot more sort of how to get into it. And there was also a routine, how to use it, that didn't go on the video, which was, you already have it set. You have it set in a deck of cards in the box, ready to go. And then you tip it out into your hand and you've got the King of Clubs. But then as you remove the box, what happens. And it's a really nice visual, and you can actually use it as a close-up thing. That made me think, so it needs to be like, it needs to be workable. It needs to be, you know, it needs to have this, it needs to have that. And I think that's how the gimmicks have progressed as well. And that's the thoughts of like, right, it needs to be this. We need to have a lot more what you can do with it. It can't just be this one thing. Or yeah, it really did make me think as well. And I stopped making them around that time and focused more on the animal magic one. Because for me, I think even having something visual, like a quick visual effect, I don't like just putting it straight in the pocket and then going, oh, by the way, did you want to look at that? I wanted to do something that was, so with Magic Club, you would split the card and you could hand out a real club on the spot, put that away. With Animal Magic, you do the effect and then you can slide the chocolate straight out. You can hand that. It's something that you can use close up. So yeah, for me, that was more, it gave me that sort of kick up the ass really that I needed, looking back to think, yeah, maybe that was a bit daft. So, but yeah, it really has made me, think a lot more into the products that I'm design, creating, and the way that we craft them. And you know, is this just going to be something that someone's going to use once, or is this going to be something that they're going to be able to use consistently? And I'm pleased to say that yeah, there's a few things that I've got that are coming out soon. There's things that are ready to come out later in the year that I'm really pleased with, that we've worked really hard on.
I tell you what, I was a big fan of the Christmas range that you guys brought out.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, do you know that? Thank you. Yeah. It was the inspiration for Snow Airman, obviously with the Like Rabbits. I loved the Like Rabbits effect. And I also loved your handling as well.
Thank you. Yeah. I kind of combined the two handlings that you put on the project and I kind of put it together as one.
Yeah. It's absolutely great. But I think for those, that was, we do appreciate that they weren't sort of, you know, the next big thing in magic or anything, but we do our best to try and cater for different people. And so since, like you say, Ace was a lot of mentalism, since I joined, we've got a lot more gimmicky things, that sort of thing. And now since we've joined Alakazam, we've got their strengths all rolled into one now. So we just basically try and cover sort of all grounds. So there's a few things that had come out that are to come out that you would think, oh, I wouldn't expect that from, say, Steve, or I wouldn't expect that from Gary. That's something different. So yeah, it's exciting times.
It really is. So what's the I suppose the question is, Steve-O, what's the plan moving forward? Because it sounds like you're in a really good place. You know, you're going out and performing, you're spending some of the time down south with Alakazam, you're spending some of the time back up north with your family, you're commuting between the two things. You've got, I imagine having the backing of Alakazam is really helpful, because obviously they're a brand that's been around for years. They've become a lot more established. You know, I imagine that that's helpful. But what's the plan for you? Actually, before we talk about you, what's the plan with Ace Magic Studio over the next 6, 12, 18, 24 months, years?
So a lot of mine and Gary's time was taken up before joining with Alakazam with posting products, creating, crafting, doing everything that we need to, social media. There was only two of us doing it. And since we've joined with Alakazam, that's given us the freedom to spend a lot more time creating ideas, doing a lot more research, being able to actually look and spend time looking at the new things that are coming out and thinking, you know, oh, that's great. Like, what new methods are being used? What new ideas are coming out? And sort of keeping up with the trend, if you like. But yeah, massively, it's just helped us come up with a lot more ideas and give us a lot more freedom. Especially with the resources as well that we now have, you know, it's sort of opened a lot more doors. So whereas before maybe we would have been restricted to particular types of props, now, you know, we have the door open for sort of new suppliers that we think, right, those ideas that we had before are not just a pipe dream. Let's sit and think about these and how we can work these. So yeah, it's just really exciting. It's we don't sort of put a limit on our creativity now. It's just think of something, like when we think of something crazy, how would it work? Don't just think, oh, it needs to just be out of elastic thread or, you know, magnets or whatever. It's, we can sort of think a lot more beyond that now. And that's, you know, that's where the excitement comes in for me. Even with screenplay, working on screenplay with Gary, we put a lot of time into that for a good sort of 6-9 months every single day through lockdown, put a lot of work into that. Now, I would have never been involved or done anything like that because I didn't have any resources for book printers or anything like that. So that for me to join up with Gary and then have that opportunity is sort of like that for me and Gary. Now we've joined with Pete and the team. It's just the same. It's just really sort of multiplied everything that we can possibly do. So it's just, yeah, it's really exciting. There's a lot of things that I want to say, but I just have to bite my tongue, don't I?
It's terrible, isn't it? Got to keep secrets. That's what this industry is all about. But what about yourself, Steve-O? What's the plan? You've been, you know, you said that you left Magic, you came back in 2017. The last, 4 years have been a whirlwind for you. Mm-hmm. You know, if we'd
crazy.
You know, when you went to that party and you were performing Healed and Sealed, if somebody said to you in 4 years' time you'd be working full time on Magic, performing and creating, you'd be a director of a Magic company. You know, you probably would have said, "Shut up, that ain't gonna happen."
Honestly, I had sort of this thing when I was getting to my late 20s, and I was thinking, it's too late for me. And, you know, the funny thing was, and I don't mind saying this, I was sat watching Britain's Got Talent with the missus, and it was when 4MG, where Harry and the lads were on. And I remember these four trendy, young, good-looking lads come out on the stage, absolutely nailed it. And I remember just sat there, and at this point in my life, you know, I was suffering a little bit, so I was quite down. And I just remember looking and thinking, like, you know, I wish I'd have done something with Magic. I'd have loved to have done something like that. Like, really, not jealous, just very envious. Just like, this, look at these guys here, they've absolutely smashed it. Like, why didn't I get off my ass and do something? And to now be working with that guy that was on the telly that I was looking at thinking, look at them, wow. And now, you know, really good friends and that with them. It's just surreal. It really is. Every day, I count my blessings, because I couldn't have dreamed for anything better. When kids say, oh, I want to be a footballer when I grow up, I want to be an astronaut. For me, this is what I would have chosen. Or I would have been a singer, but I can't sing for
Well, is there anything left on your magical bucket list that you want to hit? I mean, do you have any personal goals in magic over the coming, years? Is there anything left that you want to do? You know, are you wanting to make a bigger deal of yourself as a performer? Are we going to see Steve O. Watson on the next season of Britain's Got Talent? Or are you just content carrying on, pushing on the kind of the behind the scenes side of things?
Yeah, I really enjoy the creating side of things and the coming up with ideas. And I've always been a creative person, even away from magic. I was always into music and creating. I had a YouTube channel going where I'd create my own music and I'd beatbox and play the keyboard and use loop stations and things. So I was always creative in that way. But like I said, I couldn't sing. So I never had a future in that. But I really enjoyed like getting my head down and focusing on something. And although I do love performing and like say the gig today, it was brilliant. And you get the nerves. And then once you've done that first effect, it's just like, I'm going nowhere. You end up staying longer than you book for. But although I do enjoy that, I don't want to push that because I don't want to end up doing that too much that I go back to not having the time again to create and spend time, you know, coming up with ideas and doing the research. So I will perform. And if I'm ever asked to, I would always say yes, because I love doing it. But yeah, it's not, I think for me, the focus is just pushing with Ace and Alakazam, just coming up with some great ideas, maybe try and revolutionize some methods. And I know with screenplay, the method that we came up with that was completely different, hadn't been used in anything before. Although getting inspirations from other things, hopefully there'll be a lot more of that as well, where it's just, you know, those light bulb moments. I'm having a lot more time to do that. That's what I enjoy doing. I want to spend more time, you know, going up and down the studio, recording instructional videos and just basically being sociable in that way rather than sort of being a performer.
Brilliant. And two other questions before we finish.
Yeah,
number one, and I know this is going to be difficult for you to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
What are your three favorite tricks that Ace Magic Studio have brought out? For somebody who's watching this, that's never heard of Ace Magic Studio, that's going, you know what? I like this guy. I'm going to try some of their creations out. What's the first three that people should jump on?
The first one that I'm going to say straight away, and it's no competition at all, is spread. I'm not trying to push the most expensive product or anything like that. For me, spread, genuinely, I used it today. And the, like I said, you've got that visual aspect at the end where you get that battery licking moment when you both and they think, oh, wow. But then you've got the mentalism side, what I got into and I started to practice. So I can have some really good fun with that as well. So combining those two things together, I think dependent on whatever your style is, you can utilize that and you've just got it there ready. And I will say as well, the way that the deck is set, there's also a project by yourself, Craig, that you can utilize with this deck hand in hand.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yes. So, for me, I think having that as a single deck and being able to either use it as a deck if you wanted to, being able to do a strong piece of mentalism and also having that visual factor, I think for me, I always have to take that to a gig or even if I'm going out to a bit of a party and I think, oh, I'll take a bit of magic, I'll always take spread. 100%. Secondly, I do have to say screenplay because I know myself and Gary worked really hard and I'm so proud of it. And I know Gary is as well. I mean, as a designer, I mean, you know, that was one thing for me that when I got to do that first demo at Blackpool in 2020, and I realized that for a company that I'd only recently heard of and that I came on the scene, but the quality of the products, you know, they were, you know, back in sort of 2007, I remember going to the Blackpool convention and I won't name any names, but you know, you'd buy effects and it would all just be plain paper cut out in a plastic baggie. It didn't matter how good the effects were. So for to see what Gary did with like Vegas Choice and stuff like that when they first came out and the spread design, I just thought this is really cool. So yeah, it's for me, the design of the book of screenplay is I think it's fantastic, and what you can do with it is brilliant as well. And I had so much fun working on that, and all the little Easter eggs that you get in there. That I would have to say that as well at number two. And thirdly, I would say career choice for me, because I love when I perform magic, as you know, what I was saying with the chocolate effects and stuff. I like to have give a handout. So whether it's giving them a biscuit or a bit of chocolate, I think once a spectator has got something in the hand, that satisfies the need to sort of not grab any props or anything. So I do like to leave them with a souvenir. And career choice is just perfect for that. It's, you know, for adults, it works perfect. You can have a bit of fun with it. If it's a child, you know, I don't specifically perform children's magic. I don't go out and do kids' parties or anything. But like at the wedding today, there's going to be children there. There's going to be kids there. Yeah. So I need to have something that I'm going to be able to show the kids. But, you know, as a worker, you can't just go with everything that I'm going to do and then have things for the kids as well in case the kids. So you want to combine that. So for me, having career choice and being able to leave them with something and it, you know, being able to do that bit. I'm going to actually give credit to Wayne Goodman on this. If you find out your spectator's name, and you can make that magic a lot stronger as well beforehand. So you just do a little bit of prep, and then once you go ahead and do that effect, it gets a great reaction. So yeah, I would say career choice as well. So you've got something nice and visual, and then with spread, you've got screenplay, which is great for mentalism. There's some great Easter eggs, and then yeah, a nice little handout with career choice. So yeah, I would say those three for me.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's awesome. And I agree. All three of those are very, very good.
Thank you.
All three of them are really, really good. And one final question about Ace, the final question for this whole interview. You've teased a few things.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything you can tell us at all about any new releases that are coming from the Ace stroke Alakazam partnership moving forward? Anything at all? Even if vague little...
Right, okay, so I'll say this and I'll give a little flash. I have just a prototype here, and I'm going to do this really quick because I don't want people even pausing it and being able to look. But
whoa, okay,
so if you see that very quickly, this is a puzzle page. And that's all I'm going to say. And this is something that I've been working on, that I've created a few different things with that you can do with this. And this inspiration has come from two people. And I'm not just saying this, but Craig, gossip for me was that having the magazine page thing and the folding up and everything. But again, this is not something where you're going to go, the cheeky, you know, it's not a copy in the method or anything. And also, when I got into performing mentalism, started doing it, I got Will to Read by Steve Deller, and I was just like, oh, like, why haven't I seen this before? Like, this is just, and it really sort of tickled that side of my interest as well. And I love the fact that you can have these things in your wallet. So I wanted to go use something that I was good at and create something from there. So, yeah, it's sort of mentalism, but it's fun. But, yeah, that's a bit of a hint. That's all I can say with that one. And the other thing, which I mentioned earlier, is the Jason Orpen product, which is will be coming out soon as well, which is, I would say it's more card-related. It's not a card product, but it's card-related. And it is, honestly, you will want one. You will use it. As soon as they're out, I'll be using it. You will take something that you have that you, it's just a byproduct of something that you will have. So it's something that doesn't really get used as a main thing. And you will swap it out for this particular product and you will just use it all the time. You will use it all the time. Wow. So I can't really say too much, but if that's a hint, then I can leave it at that.
That's a really good hint. I heard as well that you've got something coming out later this year from Chris Congreve as well.
Ah, yes. Yes, I love Chris. Chris is fantastic. He messaged me with, he had this idea and he said, oh, I'm trying to get this to work sort of thing. Do you think you'd be able to help us out, maybe make the, like craft the gimmick? I said, yeah, I'll have a go, leave it with us. So I started off and I did what he wanted to, but then I thought, well, maybe just try and take it a step further and then a step further. And I sort of pimped it up. I took it on like a pimp my gimmick and I sort of made it a completely new thing with the same premise, but something that he didn't even think would have been possible. And I sent that to him and he's absolutely brilliant. The routine that Chris has, if you've seen his lectures before, you've probably seen the routine that he has, but this is now a gimmick that will go with this routine. It's the product itself is just, well, put it this way, when he demmed it, when his last lecture at the Dalek Magic Circle, and I brought it in, I said, there's the, oh, brilliant, I'll use this. And he showed the guys, and as soon as he did what he had to do, all I heard from behind us was, cough, you know, so I was, but yeah, that's really exciting as well coming out, and that'll be with Ace and Alakazam. Yeah, we've got that one, that'll be coming out sort of later in the year. But that's fantastic. Chris's stuff's brilliant. And, you know, the Conopoly that he's got. And for me, thanks to Dave, even just that little, I love his stuff. And this, again, it ticks another box. It's something visual, something different. But yeah, really looking forward to that one coming out.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been really, like, for me, it's really surreal because, like, I there's a lot of people that I look up to, like 99% of the people in the magic community, I sort of feel like I'm sort of looking up and thinking, wow, like I'm like a fanboy, you know? So like, when I meet people, can I get a picture and stuff? I'm still at that level. So I just enjoy everything about it. So for me to go to a lecture and sit and watch Chris and think, wow, you know, this, you know, before I was doing anything like that and sit and watch these people and think, wow, like that is, I would love to do that one day. That's just really inspiring. And then for years later, for me to be working with these people is, it just blows my mind. And I'm just thankful for every moment because I wouldn't change it for anything. It's just fantastic.
Living the dream, right, mate?
Literally living the dream. Yeah. Just, living the dream. Yeah, if that's how we put it. Yeah, I wouldn't swap the job for anything. If she said, do you want to be a professional footballer or anything? No, I wouldn't swap it for anything. I love it.
That's amazing. That is so great. And you know what? It's been amazing having you on this interview as well, Steve-O. You are so highly regarded.
Oh, thank you so much.
I speak to so many people in this industry daily, and they all have nothing but nice things to say about you and how amazing you are and how talented you are. And just what a nice person you are. So
that's so lovely. Thank that. Honestly, that means like so much to me, like a hell of a lot, because we have this person that we are in public and, you know, the smile and the mask, as we call it. But yeah, you know, times can be hard sometimes. And, you know, to know what you're doing is sort of having a bit of an impact, or, you know, sort of people are noticing and, you know, a bit of praise sort of thing. It's just nice. And that for me, it's just, yeah, it keeps me going. It really does. It makes me just want to continue to do it. And I'm just really grateful for anyone that's, you know, contacted me, that's friends, that's friendly with me, that comments on videos, anything like that. It's just, it means the world to me. It really does.
You're making a big difference, trust me.
Thank you so much, Craig. You're an absolute legend. To be on here with you is very surreal as well. For, you know, for me watching all the interviews of these guys and then to be asked is just like, I'm just Steve, or I'm just sat here with my glue stick and my Stanley blade, you know.
But yeah, but you know, there's magicians all over the world that are performing tricks and blowing people away that wouldn't exist if it wasn't for you.
That's really nice to say. Thank you very much.
It's true.
Thank you.
You know, think about it from that point of view. You know, there's so many people all over the world that have watched a trick that's made them go, wow. You know, and you were the person responsible for making that trick happen.
Thank you. Yeah, I love the thought of that. I love the thought of that. That's it. It's all about just being happy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
It is.
Yeah, and just enjoying what you do. And I really do. I absolutely love it. I love the community.
It's a cliche, but my dad used to say, if you love what you do, you're never going to work a day in your life.
And it's so true. I never understood that. I never understood that until when, when I was basically going on with Gary every single day, working alongside him, coming up with ideas and stuff. And my friend did say to me, all right, so, like, is that your job now? Is that are you getting paid for that? And this was just, and I was like, are you stupid? No, I want to do this. I haven't been asked to do this. This is not a job or anything. This is just, I really enjoy doing this. And for me, that effort led to the opportunity that I got. So yeah, it's been massively worth it. I absolutely love it.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. So where can people check your stuff out, Steve-O? Is it best to go to Alakazam, or is it best to go to Ace Magic Studio? Where's the best place?
Yeah, so basically we have acemagicstudio.com, and we don't sell any products from there now. All our products are showcased on there. So if you wanted to sort of know a bit more about myself and Gary or anything, about Ace Magic Studio specifically, on just the Ace products, you can go onto that site. And you'll find a lot of information on there. But the Alakazam site is now where obviously we sell everything. So all our products will be there if you wanted to purchase anything. The social media is sort of combined as well now. So we have a bit of both going out, but we are sort of steadily going to be picking the Ace social media back up as well. Not too much, because we want to put a lot of the focus into the Ace Alakazam joint. But yeah, you'll see posts popping up now and then. I think that sort of covers it.
And do you have your own social media if people want to follow you directly?
Yeah, I don't. On Facebook, I just Steve O. Watson, as it's spelled on the chat, Stevo. And I have a page, Steve O. Magician, but I haven't really posted on there for a while, just with how busy I've been. And the same with TikTok. I've got a TikTok page. There's a lot of videos on there. You see a lot of visual stuff that I've done, that obviously not released, just little fun things that I've come up with and done there. And that's just Steve-O Magician as well on TikTok. But again, I haven't posted for a few months now on there, just due to how busy we've been, which is a good thing in a way. But yeah, I will be posting a few little bits and stuff in the coming months as well. So if you do check that out, then yeah, I would appreciate that. That'd be great.
Awesome, my friend. You know what? Like I said, this has been an amazing interview. Thank you so much for finding the time to come on.
Thank you so much, Craig. Honestly, I could sit here for, you know, another 2 hours talking, but you know, I can talk for England once I get going.
And you know what? I want people to come over and check you out when you're at the conventions and just come over and say hi to you, because you are genuinely one of the most friendliest people that I know.
Oh, thank you, man. That's, you know, if that was one thing I could be known as, it would be, you know, if I could be known as a friendly guy more than a great magician or creator, I would much prefer to be known as that. It's a massive thing to, you know, just help people in the community and be a team, because we're all in it for the same love. And yeah, I've had a lot of love shown to me, especially over the last few years. And it's just nice to be able to do that back.
For sure. My friend, this has been absolutely amazing.
It really has.
You know what? I want everyone who's watched this interview to leave a comment down below so Steve-O sees it. Go check out Ace Magic Studios. Go check out the whole range at Alakazam Magic. They're all fantastic. And keep an eye on the socials, because whatever this man comes up with, I'm sure it's going to be absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
Steve-O, thank you so much.
Greg, thank you so much.
I will see you again soon, my friend, okay?
You will indeed, buddy. It's an absolute pleasure. It's been great speaking with you, buddy.
Likewise.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Steve-O is amazing.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.